Hello, ladies and gentlemen, you're watching NDTV. India's External Affairs Minister, Dr. S. Jaishankar, will represent the government of India at the swearing-in ceremony of U.S. President-elect Donald Trump on the 20th of January. Donald Trump has invited several heads of governments and also heads of states to be present at this event and the subsequent celebrations that are to be held in Washington, D.C. Now, Dr. Jaishankar is likely to hold several meetings with officials of the incoming administration where India's concerns are expected to feature. As India's diplomatic face at this high-profile event, Jaishankar's attendance underscores the importance of India's bilateral ties with the U.S. in our global strategy. In addition to India and China, Trump's inauguration will also feature a strong showing from global leaders, including many populist and right-wing ones, many of them who share at least some ideological common ground with Donald Trump. There'll also be corporate giants and also powerful people from the field of technology. But what will a second Trump presidency bring for India? What can India expect? And how can India prepare better? That's what we will try and understand tonight. We will be joined by a panel of experts. But first, here's a special report.
Trump has left the building.
Over. We can now project the winner of the presidential race. Donald Trump wins the presidency.
What started off as unlikely, impossible, is now reality.
The countdown has begun, and the world is watching closely to January 2025. As Donald J. Trump prepares for his second term as the 47th President of the United States of America.
I will fight for you with every breath in my body, and I will never, ever let you down.
While the attention is focused on the ceremony itself, it's the guest list that's truly capturing global interest. From India to Europe and across South America, the leaders who will attend reveal much about the political alliances and tensions that will shape the next chapter of international diplomacy.
We will not fail.
India and United States have strengthened their strategic partnership in the recent years. Prime Minister Modi's warm relationship with Donald J. Trump has been a driving force behind this close bond. From joint initiatives in the Indo-Pacific to shared economic goals, the two leaders have often found common ground. As Trump begins his second term, India's commitment to deepening these ties is clear. With External Affairs Minister S. Jaishankar representing India at the inauguration, signaling a continued focus on strengthening U.S.-India relationship.
अमेरिका के साथ हमारे बड़े गहने और घनिष्ठ रिश्ते हैं। हमारी एक स्ट्रेटेजिक पार्टनरशिप है। पिछले कई सालों में या दशकों में ये इस रिश्ते में बहुत मजबूती आई है और नए आने वाले सरकार ट्रंप सरकार के साथ के एडमिशन के साथ भी हम लोग मजबूती से काम करना चाहेंगे इसके अलावा मेरे पास आपको पता होगा कि अभी विदेश मंत्री और हमारे फॉरेन सेक्रेटरी भी वहां का दौरा करके आए हैं जिसका हम लोगों ने आपको इसके बारे में बताया भी है मीडिया के माध्यम से तो हम आने वाले दिनों में इस रिश्ते को और प्रगाढ़ और मजबूत करना चाहेंगे
Trump's inauguration will showcase populist and right-wing leaders all sharing common ground with his America First vision. From South American region, Javier Milei, Argentina's new president, will attend Trump's inauguration reflecting shared populist and free market ideals. Even Nayib Bukele, the president of El Salvador, will be in attendance. Italy's far-right Prime Minister Giorgia Meloni is expected to attend Trump's inauguration aligning with his nationalist and conservative views on issues like immigration and sovereignty. In addition to world leaders, major corporations will also play a key role in supporting Trump's inauguration. Several prominent companies, especially in tech, aerospace and media, have committed significant donations to back the occasion. Boeing, one of America's largest aerospace companies, has committed $1 million, while Google has also pledged $1 million and will also stream the event live on YouTube, making the inauguration accessible to global audience. Meta under CEO Mark Zuckerberg has donated $1 million, continuing its involvement with U.S. presidential events. Trump's second inauguration will be a global moment, reflecting shifts in diplomacy, populism, and corporate power. With corporate backing and global leaders watching, it promises to shape U.S. politics and international relations. With Mohammad Ghazali, Bureau Report, NDTV.
Well, we have Manju Seth, former ambassador. We have Daniel Block, senior editor, foreign affairs, and a contributing editor at the Washington Monthly. We have Dr. Zakir Hussain, who's a former research fellow, Indian Council of World Affairs. Thank you, all of you, for joining me on this broadcast. Mr. Block, I start with you. The guest list of Donald Trump is emerging as a fascinating reflection of how global political dynamics are changing. Clearly, this inauguration is going to be more than just a political event. It's going to be, in some ways, a defining moment to reflect how international diplomacy will be changing from here on. How do you see the decision to actually invite Xi Jinping at a time when Trump has also sent out these messages against China?
Well, I think Trump, his approach to China, there's an element of a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. It kind of goes back and forth in multiple ways. On the one hand, he has very hawkish instincts when it comes to China, particularly on the economic front. I mean, he's threatened to slap all kinds of tariffs on China. On the other hand, he has repeatedly, throughout his time in politics, expressed admiration for Xi and his autocratic style of rule. He, I think, was particularly excited when Xi managed to extend his tenure in office beyond what was traditionally allowed by the Chinese political system. He mused that that might be a template for him to follow. So I think him inviting Xi, it's always hard to tell with Trump to read the tea leaves because it's so unpredictable, but it is in keeping with the admiration he's expressed for Xi and the Chinese political system at times.
Right. Ambassador Seth, India's External Affairs Minister Dr. Jaishankar will be representing Government of India at the swearing-in ceremony of Donald Trump. Of course, what we hear is he will also have meetings with representatives of the incoming government. What, according to you, will be his immediate and long-term priorities?
I think he has made it very clear that he's going to address the issue of making America great. Anti-immigration policies will be implemented by him. And I think he will, stop illegal immigration altogether, because that's been one of his priorities. And vis-a-vis India, I think, because we have a huge number of Indians working there on H-1B visas, they are going to be affected, I think, by his policy. But we don't know. As very rightly mentioned, President-elect Donald Trump is very, very, you can't make out when he'll say whether he'll do what he says or he will come up with something else. He does go, he's very instinctive in his sort of approach. So we don't know how he will actually implement, all what he says, or he will not implement it, depending on how the situation unfolds. And I think I think for India, if that happens, it's going to be a little problematic, because a lot of our Indians will be affected, their stay in the US, their work. But equally, I think the US companies where they are working will also be affected, because they do bring something to the table, and that's why they are there. So the H-1B visas are mutually beneficial for both America and for Indians working there and for India. But we don't know how President Trump will actually go ahead and implement his threats, should I say, that he has been saying. But he is, I think, very, very, because he and Elon Musk do support H-1B visa. That is a segment of his party which is really not in favor of H-1B visas. And I think if they are able to influence his decision, then it may be that he might not immediately, but he might take action to limit the numbers. And of course, illegal immigration, I think everybody accepts, should be tackled. And I think that also will be his on his agenda.
Dr. Hussain, what should India's priorities be? Because like ma'am was also pointing out, I understand that India has so far maintained a studied silence when it comes to the H-1B visa matter. But Trump presidency has also drawn attention, because Trump's core supporters, the MAGA supporters, have been talking about the H-1B visa process. His leading team and he himself have generally supported high-skilled workers from India. But the MAGA movement has been unrelenting on criticizing the visa system that India supports. Do you think Trump as president might ultimately want to relook at the visa process?
Look, if I take Elon Musk, he's venturing into high technology ends. And for this, he needs a high labor class, high talent workforce, which only India can supply. So we have to wait and watch for 6 months. And again, I think that Indian talent workers will be allowed, maybe select on a selective basis, but they cannot afford to stop Indian talent worker for at once. So I am not very much worried about all these things. I am worried about more over trade, because Trump is going to impose tariff on our low technology in trade items. But again, he will not impose tariff on high technology in products, because Trump has assured to create employment in America, to make America great again, and to provide jobs to the low qualified supporters, diploma holders. And this can only be done by establishing factories and industries back in USA. And here I find that he may impose tariff on our low technology products more than high technology products. And what I feel that Trump will economically try to control India, but geostrategically and defense-wise, he will support India. That's why he has not taken the name of India in any geostrategic discussion. While he has taken China and Russia and others in all these things, and he has shifted his focus from India and this part of the world to the east, to the northern hemisphere, like Greenland, Ukraine, Canada, Mexico, Panama Canal, all these things. So Trump has a lot of things on his plate. What he is going to handle in the 1.5 years, because that will be a midterm election, and at that time Congress may not be in fully supporting the Trump agenda. So we have to be very patient in the first 6 months after that. And it is also said that Trump speaks a lot, because he's a transactional man, and ultimately he will come and sit on negotiating table, and he will be having a very small stick to punish his traders.
Okay, so the reciprocal sentiment. Mr. Yeah. Clark, recently outgoing NSA Jake Sullivan visited India and announced that U.S. will remove restrictions over nuclear and scientific entities of India. Of course, the question was asked as to why this was not done before by the Biden government. Now, Dr. Hussain also pointed out on defense and strategy ties. What can India expect on that front?
I would expect the Trump administration to roughly continue the trajectory of the Biden administration when it comes to defense ties. This is a bipartisan tradition we now have going back at least to the second Bush administration, starting with a nuclear deal there, where governments of both parties have looked to build stronger defense and technology ties with India, in particular as a way to hedge against and balance against China. So to the extent the Trump administration is interested in continuing that policy, and I expect he will be, I would expect to see a continued deepening of the defense partnership. Now, having said that, Trump is, as the other guests have noted, immensely unpredictable. So to an extent, we just don't know. Could Trump decide that he no longer wants to hedge against China to the same extent? Sure. Could he then change his mind again? Yes, this is somebody who changes his mind, it seems like, based on the last person he talked to. Could defense ties get caught up in trade grievances he has against India? Sure, you could see a world where Trump wants some sort of more favorable deal when it comes to trade with India on aspects that are unrelated to defense, and uses defense as leverage to get that. So my prediction would be deeper ties, with the large caveat that this is an unpredictable incoming president. So to some extent, we don't know exactly how things are going to play out.
There are many uncertainties. Ambassador said several experts have also said that a major focus of Trump's foreign policy will be on the China challenge. And you have Trump advisors like the NSA, Michael Waltz, or Marco Rubio, who are, likely to focus on the strategic competition with China and working with allies. Do you see that happening? And what can India expect from Trump's foreign policy?
I think, as very rightly mentioned by Mr. Daniel, the relationship with India will continue to be good. I think that's not going on most fronts. It'll be a good bilateral relationship. And I think Donald Trump will continue with many of the existing policies or the existing relationship and build on that as well. But yes, he has been saying that China needs to be countered. And I think Quad, he is supportive of Quad from what I have seen. And the Quad summit is expected to be held in India this year. And we expect that he will be here. India would expect that he would attend that summit. And very rightly, hedging and balancing is the only option for us also, and for the US as well, as far as China is concerned. China has, reached a stage of economic development and a certain economic heft that it has. I think that in itself makes it difficult for any government, including the US, to totally sideline it or try and browbeat China. So you have to hedge and balance your relationship with China. And I think that's what President Trump would do. He would try and, work with China. But at the same time, he's threatened 100% tariffs because a lot of Chinese goods are coming in into the U.S. As they are coming into India, huge amounts of Chinese, right. Chinese goods are coming in. So he would try and put a stop to it because manufacturing in the U.S. needs to be increased. He wants to focus on that.
Yeah.
MAGA is his theme, and that was last time as well, in his last term as well. Make America great and get manufacturing, etc. back. And I think for India, that would mean working with China, but also working with the U.S. But at the same time, hedging and balancing is the only option available at the moment.
Right. Hedging and balancing seems to be the way forward. Dr. Hussain, you talked about tariffs. Donald Trump has also been threatening punitive tariffs on some countries. We've seen his statements with regard to Mexico and China and others. How should India move to guard against Trump's likely tariff strike? Do you also see this as an opportunity for India to review its existing tariff structures? Because I was looking at Trump 1.0, technology controls were lifted in India. India also gained access to drone technology. The Quad was started, but there were also these bumps, American companies. Trump would want American companies to have more access to Indian markets. How should India now prepare to rework its strategy that can respond to, Trump's way of negotiating, which, like you rightly pointed out, could be transactional?
What I feel that initially, Trump will put pressure, as in first term, he said that India is a tariff king. But what I feel that he will impose tariff, he will try to project India as a tariff king in low technology products, not in high technology products. And what I feel that we should tweak our tariff policies here and there, but not very much, because we should be getting a more market trade diversion will take from United States to other countries like Africa and ASEAN and other countries. So we should explore more market in other apart from USA. But USA right now in 1 or 2 years, it cannot stop importing from India, because if it is going to exert pressure on China, China has already diversified its trade. Its trade with ASEAN has grown. Now China is now number second trading partner. Mexico is the first one. Then Canada is there. And what I find that Trump is also very uncertain, and China will also play a very uncertain game. In 2018, what happened that Trump imposed a tariff on $200 billion worth of goods. But what China did? China reduced the tariff and China promised to invest more. The same thing China may again do. And if China does adopt the same strategy, then Trump may transact with China. So we should be prepared on both the front, with America as well as China, how China is going to behave. It reduces the tariff. It means that Trump will be happy. Mm. If it increases its investment in United States for developing its low-cost industries, right. It will be happy. And again, the absence of Xi, despite being
right.
Invited, show that Xi does not want to be succumbed under Trump's pressure. It shows the bargaining power of Chinese premier. which I feel that the tussle between the two will continue. Okay. But China has already hedged its interest in other parts of the world. Right. So Trump may not be able to squeeze much from China, but China is collapsing under its own economic slowdown, debt crisis, real estate problem. All these are itself. And for this, China has allocated $1 trillion to boost its domestic demand.
Right.
So we will also follow the same path to boost our domestic demand instead of succumbing to Trump, because Trump does not have any other big option like India.
Right.
So we must not be very much worried what I feel.
Okay. Mr. Block, my question to you, how do you also see Trump's new rhetoric of a revival of American imperialism, territorial ambitions? Would that be, I mean, like, it's understood that it could be in some ways dangerous for the global order. But, you know, how can his America First policy also impact India?
I'm worried about many things. I'm not worried that Trump will attempt to annex parts of India. I should say that up front. I do see it mostly as a question of global order. But also, I think it's worth noting now that the United States does have a long imperialist history. This is not coming out of nowhere. There was an era in the 1800s and early 1900s where the United States behaved very much like European powers in that it took other territory. It claimed it as its own, thinking of the Philippines, for example. And so to some extent, you see Trump, I think, tapping into that history. To some extent, it might be latent, but I don't view this necessarily as a huge deviation from the past when it comes to the United States' behavior. That said, I am worried about the precedent it sets or the precedent it contributes to. We are in a period right now where countries are feeling more emboldened, so it seems, to try and conquer other territory they view as their own. Obviously, the big example of that is Russia's war in Ukraine, of which Trump has been in some ways more understanding than Biden and other, you know, figures in the American politics. He's
right.
been willing to let Putin have some of Ukraine's territory. So I see that as in keeping with a kind of shifting norms in the global order where conquest is making a return,
right.
unfortunately.
Absolutely. Thank you all of you for joining me on this broadcast. External Affairs Minister Dr. S. Jaishankar will be representing the Government of India at the swearing-in ceremony of the United States of America of President-elect Donald Trump. This will happen on the 20th of January. It's going to be a star-studded event. Will Donald Trump's second presidential term mark a sharp departure from previous approaches of U.S. leadership in areas such as diplomacy and trade? That is something that the world is waiting to know. We will keep you updated.